Anybody? Anybody know what movie that was? All right, yeah, Ghostbusters. Really a popular movie back then, and they made a lot of shows about ghosts and all those avenues. And the other day I went channel surfing just to kind of see what's on there. You know, they have shows like Ghost Hunters, Paranormal, Celebrity and Ghost Story. I haven't watched any of them, but this is Celebrity and Ghost Stories. I don't know what that one's all about. But I've seen all this ghost stuff out there. And then Laura and I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, we took a tour of the Winchester House. Anybody did the tour of the Winchester House? I did this tour of the Winchester House over in San. And they talk about, you know, you take the tour there, you know, everybody always asks if there's been a ghost around here. And they talk, well, there's been this ghost over, you know, and somebody has seen it. I don't believe in ghosts, all right? I'm just going to come out with it and just tell you, I don't believe there's a such thing as ghosts. Now, I want to tell you, I believe there is a spiritual dimension that everything, there's a dimension that we cannot see where there's angels and there's demons, because I believe in angels and demons. I believe God has angels that watch over us, and I believe that's the truth. And there's a great story in the Bible of God and his angels. There was a prophet named Balaam. And there was a king that was going to have a battle, and he sent for Balaam. And he wanted Balaam to come and curse God's people. And Balaam's one of God's men. And it's kind of like, well, I really can't go curse my own people. You know, that just doesn't quite work well. But the king said, listen, I'll pay you if you go and curse these people. And he goes, well, I really can't go and curse God's people. And he goes, but I'll pay you. Let's just go check it out. All right, you just go to this mountain with me, and you stand there, and then if you feel like you can curse them, I want you to curse them. Well, so he's going on this journey to curse God's people. And as he's going there, he's riding a donkey. Anybody familiar with Balaam and his donkey? Anybody know that story of Balaam and his donkey? So Balaam is journeying on his donkey, and as he's traveling down this canyon, he's going down this canyon. It gets really, really narrow, and his donkey stops. And his donkey comes to a halt, and it won't go any further. And he beats the donkey, and the donkey won't go, and he's yelling at the donkey, and he hits the donkey some more, and the donkey won't move. And it's like, come on, and he just can't figure out why the donkey doesn't move. Well, the donkey finally turns his head and talks to him. Now, I tell you, if a donkey ever turned to me and talked to me, I'd really pay attention, all right? You know, I mean, you know, what is it, Mr. Ed? I heard Mr. Ed talks, but I don't, anybody familiar with Mr. Ed? All these old shows, I'm getting old, I guess. But this donkey turns and talks to him and said, listen, Balaam, turn your head and look around. Pay attention. In front of that donkey was an angel. And the angel had a sword, and the angel was swinging the sword. And the angel would have literally cut Balaam's head off if he had gone on. And so there is a spiritual world out there. I don't know what it's like. I don't know where it's at. But there's a spiritual world. There's demons and there's angels. And I think we'd be surprised if we've seen the battle that they fight on our behalf many times. And because there's this world out there. But I don't believe in ghosts. I've seen these things. Well, there's this floating blob, you know, and this glow. And I don't believe in ghosts. But if you read the King James Bible, you'll find this over and over again. It talks about some Holy Ghost. And it mentions the Holy Ghost. Now, you need to understand, King James Bible was written in about 1611. And they had a different understanding of ghost. If you read most of our newer translations today, it says, anybody got an idea? It's called the Holy Spirit. So that's what I want to talk about today, in the next few weeks. I want to get you to get your little outline out of your worship folder. You can kind of follow along about this Holy Spirit. We can kind of see what he's up to. More than 800 times it's mentioned in the Bible. You'll find the word Holy Spirit more than 800 times in the Bible. You'll see him descend as a dove. You see him appear as fingers of fire, tongues of fire. You see him empower people to do miracles. You'll see him fill people with what's called that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. There's 9 of them. All right, self-control. Some of us memorized them, done really well. And you notice I left self-control out. But as we wrestle with these, and you'll see that spirit over and over there, and I want to make sure you get a picture more than 800 times, there's this spirit-filled life for God's believers. There's a presence of God in all of us that God wants us to have. that wants to walk with us and fill us and empower us and gift us and guide us and direct us. And that's the spirit that God has for us. And you can find this in the scripture. And it's not some Johnny, again, I'm going to use old, maybe I'm going to give my age away, some Johnny come lately, you know, some afterthought, you know, some that, well, we'll just talk about this later. It starts at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. The Holy Spirit was there. Look at what the scripture says. You have a little outline out. Pull that out. You can follow along. In the beginning, the creation story, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. From the very moment of creation, from the very moment when God was there in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. It's not something that popped up later on. It's not some other mode that God appeared himself in. The Holy Spirit was there from the very beginning. When God created, the Holy Spirit was in the presence of the creation and was moving over the face of the earth as God created. And he made this world and he created this world. And you can read about it throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. But I want to make sure you understand there's a little bit of a difference between the Old and New Testament. And this is what we're going to dwell on today. If you read the Old Testament, it's real interesting. The Holy Spirit would descend on somebody, Saul or somebody else in the scriptures, David or someone. But then after they did whatever God had laid his hand upon them to do, the Holy Spirit would ascend and leave them. It was kind of like he would come upon them. They would accomplish the task, the blessing, the gift, whatever God had chosen them to do. And then after that was done, the Holy Spirit would leave. But when you come to the New Testament, and we're going to understand, I want to make sure you get a picture of, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and he lives with us. He dwells in us. He never leaves us nor departs from us. And we're going to see this, and I want to make sure you get this picture here of what we're talking about. But what's interesting in our world, and especially within the church world and the religious world, is you find some that really emphasize and maybe overemphasize the Holy Spirit. They'll talk about the Holy Spirit did this and the Holy Spirit did that and I filled with the Spirit and I did and they talk about all the stuff the Holy Spirit did and he does those things. But there's just this overemphasis of it. It's Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And he is real and he is there. But there's also this group, and I would probably put us and probably myself over here, that I never really talk about it enough. You know, I don't really ignore it, but I don't dwell on it enough. I don't bring it up enough that there is this Holy Spirit, that this Holy Spirit that dwells within every believer, that every one of us who cross that line of salvation, that make a decision to follow God, that God gives us this Spirit to dwell in us, and he lives in us, and he empowers us, and he does miraculous things through us, and he gifts us, and he gives us spiritual fruit. And God does these things in our life, and that's how he does it. But what is this Spirit? What is this Spirit? I gave you some definitions here. If you look at your outline, they're going to be on the screen also. The first one, if you look at that, Ruach, Spirit. That's the Hebrew word. Ruach is the Hebrew word. And it means wind, breath, a violent exhaustion, and a blast of breath. So it's really a wind, a breeze, a violent breeze. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what the word means. There's a breath of God. Here's the image. There's a breath of God in us. All right? Let me paint a picture here for you. Back to the creation story. When God created man, right? Anybody familiar with the story? God created man, formed him from the dust of the earth. Anybody know where it goes from there? And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave us spirit. The spirit. It's the wind. It's the breath of God. It's what gives life. Here's the Greek word for it. The Greek word is pneuma. Now, anybody here a construction worker? Anybody here work in construction? Anybody ever buy pneumatic tools? Anybody know what a pneumatic tool is? Anybody? Yeah, some of you guys know. Some of you don't know. A pneumatic tool is an air tool. It runs by air. It's powered by air, not electricity or a battery. It's powered by air, a pneumatic tool. And that's where the word is. It's wind. It's breath. The Spirit of God is that power. It's that breath, it's that wind. And so there's the Greek and Hebrew. I'll teach you a little Greek and Hebrew this morning. There's those two words. It kind of gives you the picture of what we have and how God works and what God is up to. And I want us to think about, what is it that God really wants? What is it that God wants to empower us? And how does he do it? How does God spiritually fill us? What is that fruit of the Spirit? What does it mean when God does all these things? Why is it? This is one of the things I thought about. Why is it for me? Why is it sometimes that my prayers don't seem to go above the ceiling? Anybody ever feel that way? That you pray and you seek God and sometimes you're just like, they're not going anywhere. You know, sometimes you're spiritually strong and you're spiritually fit, and then other times you're just kind of weak. And sometimes that spiritual fruit, that love, joy, peace, patience, is just there and you feel good about it, and then there's other times. Why is that, and how does that happen, and why is it so many Christians don't live a spirit-filled life and live kind of like this spiritless life, and why does that happen, and what can we do? You know, how can we let life get us down and anxiety and stress and fear when we're Christians and we're told not to be timid and not to have those? How does all this work, and how do we put this together? And I want us to think about that in the next few weeks, and we're going to look at the ghost, and it's the Holy Spirit. I had a hard time when I wrote this called the ghost. It's like, I don't want you to think of some floating blob roaming around that's going to drop on you. You know, let's turn the lights off and see what we get. You know, I'll have Ernie turn the lights off. We'll see if we see any floating blobs around or anything. I don't want you to think that, but I want you to think about the presence of God, the breath of God that dwells within you, that God breathes in you. When you cross that line, when you reach that point in your life, you know where I'm going. When you reach that point in your life where you say something along this line, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life. Send that Spirit into my life. And I'm going to follow you. See, that Spirit that God wants to give us, that we don't have to be this weak, spiritless Christian. That we can have some power in our life. And I want us to think about Jesus and a conversation he's having. Okay, I want you to think about you're one of his disciples, all right? Last week was Easter. Anybody remember that? Anybody? Last week was Easter. We're going to kind of pretend Easter's come. Jesus died on the cross, and he's going to ascend into heaven. Now I'm going to be all by myself. And he knew this was going to happen. They did not know. And so if you look in the Gospel of John, he has a little conversation with them. And he's carrying on this conversation. It's John chapter 14 is really where it goes. And he's kind of laying it out. He's going, now listen, I'm going to die. He kind of says it in a roundabout way. They still don't quite get the picture. And he said, I'm going to die. But I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in heaven. I'm going to build these mansions for my people in heaven. I'm going to call you up there to heaven. I'm going to prepare that place for you. I'm going to go ahead of you. And so he's telling them all this, and I can imagine what's going through their mind. They're with Jesus. Now Jesus is going to leave. Now what are we going to do? We've walked with him. We've seen the miracles. We've seen Peter walk on water. We've seen the presence of God cause the blind to see, the lame to walk. We've seen 5,000 fed with two fish and a couple of pieces of bread. We've seen God do all this stuff, and now Jesus is going to leave us. What are we going to do? And so he's having this conversation with them. And in verse 16 and 17, listen what he says, and look at what he says in verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, that's God, just so you know, and he will give you another helper. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. The word another, I didn't put this in the Greek for you because it's just the word means another, but it means another the same like. He's going to give you somebody like the helper, somebody like me. Somebody that's just like me. I'm going to give you another helper to be with you forever. It's going to change now. It's not going to be like the Old Testament where I come and go. It's not going to be like the Old Testament where I'm here and I'm gone. I'm going to dwell in you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. I think you guys just sung a song. Anybody sing a song about the Spirit of Truth this morning? You guys remember? It's just a few minutes ago. Yeah. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you see the picture? He's saying, listen, I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another one just like me, just like I am, the one that you've seen do the miracles, the one that raised the dead, caused the blind to see, healed the lame, the fed the thousands. He's going to be just like me, and he's going to help you. I'm going to send my Spirit, but not only is he going to help you, he's going to, why don't you circle those words? He's going to dwell with you. Why don't you circle dwells with you? And will be in you. Why don't you circle those? I want to make sure you get the picture. He's just not some spirit that floats around. You know, you're not going to walk through the halls of the Winchester Hall and see the Holy Spirit floating around and, oh, there goes the Spirit. It doesn't work like that. The Spirit dwells within you. He lives within you. And that's what it says. You cannot receive, the world can't receive him because it neither sees him or knows him. What it's saying is real simple. That when you make that profession of faith, when you reach that point where you say something, God, I'm tired of doing life my way. I've really messed up my life. I've screwed everything up. Why don't you come into my life and take control? You can do a better job with it than I can. Come in and take control. And he comes in as the Spirit. Now, the world doesn't have it. Do not be surprised when, let me give you some hints. Don't be surprised when the world doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit. When you don't see much love in the world, when you don't see much compassion or patience in the world, don't be surprised. They don't have the Spirit that gives them the fruit of the Spirit. Don't be surprised when you see the world and all the voting that they go on and all this court stuff and all these elections and all this. Don't be surprised when they don't vote a biblical worldview because they don't have the Spirit of truth. See, does this all make sense? Does this add up? You know, God wants, but when we cross that line, we get something. We get that Spirit of truth. We get the Spirit of power. We get the Spirit of gifts. We get the Spirit of that fruit. We get to be a Spirit-filled individual when we walk and we dwell with God. You know, and he gives us this helper. Look at the word for helper. I gave you the definition of a helper because this is really a good, I love this word. I look at that, I always want to say paraclete, but it doesn't say paraclete, it says paraclete, all right? I always look at that and want to say paraclete, but it's a paraclete. And what that means is, I like that. I give you that big definition, but let me give you just a really simple one, called alongside of. He's going to give us somebody that's going to walk through life with you. He's going to call alongside of you. He's your advocate. I always get a picture in my mind. Has anybody ever had to go and stand before a judge besides me? Don't raise your hand. You might not want to be embarrassed. You know, it's like you got to go and you got to go stand before the judge. Mine wasn't that bad. Okay, I had modified exhaust on my car and bald tires and they didn't like me. Can you imagine that? You know, and so I had to go stand before a judge and, you know, how do you plead? And I had to tell him, I had to go through all this rigmarole and do all that. Well, I think about this picture here. But when I'm standing before somebody, there's my advocate. There's my intercessor. There's my helper. There's my paraclete. He's standing there with me. I'm not alone. God is present. And we need to see this picture that he's painting here with us. And here's this truth. He's going to be with you forever. He's never going to leave you. You're going to receive it. And you see this picture, and it's hard. You know, I don't know about you, but I can get a picture of God the Father. I can understand God the Son and Jesus Christ. But now all of a sudden, let's throw the Trinity in there and you got the Holy Spirit. Okay, how does all this fit together? How does all this work? And it's really God in his presence. And it's the uniqueness, the omniscient and omnipower and omnipresent God that we see here. And we need to understand that. And so I want us to kind of look at that because here's what Paul says. And here's the question. Like I said, I want you to imagine you're being one of those disciples. Jesus rose from the grave and he's going to ascend into heaven. Which would you rather have? Jesus in the flesh or the Spirit living within you? Okay. Which would you rather experience? Jesus in the flesh. He's right here. Jesus. You know, I got a headache, Jesus. Oh, no more headache. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hungry, Jesus. Oh, there's a rock. Oh, it's bread. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you want Jesus. Or would you rather have the presence of the Spirit? I want you to think about it. Look at the question. Look at what Jesus says about that. Look at this next verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus says, now listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, most of us would say, I want Jesus in the flesh. But Jesus is saying, listen, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's saying, listen, here's the advantage. If I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you that paraclete. I'm going to send you my advocate, my intercessor, my counselor, my comforter. I'm going to send you that spiritual power. I'm going to send you that spiritual grace. I'm going to send you that spiritual fruit. I'm going to spiritually fill you, is what he's saying here. And I thought about this, because let me tell you something. If God was here in the flesh, you guys would have been out of luck all week, because he would have been with me in Washington last week, all right? Yeah, I would have took him with me. That's your problem. I mean, he would have gotten the car in the back seat with the dog I had back there. All right? Or maybe I would have put Laura back there. Maybe Laura would have put me back there. Yeah. And I had to sit back there with the dog. I don't know. But see, there's, you know, we always think Jesus in the flesh. Honestly, I think we got the greater advantage with Jesus in the Spirit called the Holy Spirit. That's what I think the picture he's painting here for us. That God's going to live in us. It's not going to be walking beside me. It's not going to be, well, he's with so-and-so today, and he's going to be with you tomorrow. I mean, he's in the flesh. He's going to be in one place at one time. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a hog and take him all the time, all right? You guys are all out of luck. But if he's the Holy Spirit, he dwells with every one of us. The Holy Spirit lives within your life. If you are a believer, if you've crossed that line, the Spirit of God lives in your life, period. He dwells within you. You have a spiritual power. Just as that dove descended when Jesus was baptized, it descended on you when you accepted Jesus Christ. He lives within you. Just as when Jesus did those miracles, he's here to do miracles in our midst. I believe God still does it. I believe they're Spirit-filled people. And we live the spiritless life. Why? Why do we miss out on so much? Why do we feel sometimes our prayers just don't go anywhere? Why do we feel so defeated? Anybody ever feel defeated? You just feel like you're bumping into a brick wall? You know, you just can't get ahead. Just things never work. And life just squashes you. You know, everything's going wrong. Anybody else have everything go wrong? And you just, you know, why do we have this? Why are so many believers today living a spiritless life? Why? Yeah, I could probably give you a different reason. I'm just going to pick two. I just picked two for this morning's message. Why do we feel so spiritless sometimes? Why doesn't the fruit of the Spirit just bubble over in my life? You know, why isn't that spiritually giftedness that God has given me just part of who I am and what I'm doing? Why am I fearful and anxiety and stressed? And, you know, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me, okay? I mean, why do I have this? And why do I battle these feelings that, you know, that I just can't, you know, I just don't measure up and I'm not good enough and it never works for me? And why does this happen? Now, I'm going to just give you two reasons. I think one of the reasons, and that we'll see in the scriptures, is one of those reasons is some people aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit. They don't even know. This we just don't even know about the Holy Spirit. Here's a great story in the Bible here. You know, just so you know, remember, John the Baptist came before Jesus. Anybody kind of give you the story? John the Baptist was born of Mary's cousin and Jesus' cousin. You can kind of get a picture there. And he was out baptizing and teaching. Remember Jesus? He was baptized Jesus. Anybody remember John the Baptist baptized Jesus? Okay. And so he had baptized some people. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus never baptized anybody, but they have the gift of the Spirit that came along with Jesus. And it was still, those who were baptized by John were still living in the Old Testament. They were still living in the old way where the Spirit would come and leave. So look at the conversation these guys have here. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard of the Spirit, of there is a Holy Spirit." See, I believe there's some people that, you know, I know God, and I know about God, and I know about Jesus, and yeah, I've heard about the Holy Spirit, but I really don't know much about it. I don't know what he does. I really don't know who he is. You know, just so you know, he's not an it, he's a he. You know, I just don't know who he is, and I think there's a lot of people like this today that they're just not sure that the Holy Spirit is available. They're just not sure that God wants to live in. They're just not sure about God. You know, they understand God and they understand Jesus, but that Holy Spirit, it's kind of like this Trinity, and I just don't get it. And I think there's a lot of people that are just unaware of the Holy Spirit. They're just unaware of what the Holy Spirit does, that He wants to fill them, that He wants to gift them, that He wants to support them and empower them and encourage them and comfort them and console them, that Spirit wants to walk with them, and that they're just not aware that He lives in them and that He dwells in them, and they're just not aware of that power that's available with that fruit of the Spirit, and they just miss it. And I think there's some people like that, you know, that they're just not quite sure. Excuse me. But I also think there's some people that just resist it. You know, they just resist the Spirit. They just don't want anything to do with the Spirit. Now, let me describe some of this to you. Hopefully it won't describe you. If it does, you get a chance to make it right. But there's some out there that, you know you shouldn't do this. You know it's wrong. You know that that's not what you should be doing, but you know what? You don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And you know, you got this little conviction in you. You got this little voice saying, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't do it, but you just say, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. That's called resisting the Spirit. You feel led and you feel called to do something and to bless somebody or to give something. And it's like, I know I should do this. And I know God wants me to do this. I know it's going to bring God glory. But you know what? I'm not going to do it. Yeah. No, I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to go to the gospel mission. I'm going to do whatever I want. And people resist the people resist the Spirit. Yeah. The Spirit lays things on and you get this conviction. You ever have that? You just feel this little voice? You know, I can't describe that. I tell people all the time about my calling to be a pastor. You know, I never heard somebody say, Gary, be a preacher. I never heard that, all right? I never heard a voice of God. Matter of fact, if I heard the voice of God, I would probably, I don't know, figure it out yourself. You know, it scared me to death. But I have no doubt, there is no question, there is absolute assuredness in my heart and in my mind that God called me to be a pastor. And I call that the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I just know it. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. It's one of those things that I don't understand. But I know. But see, some people resist that. Some of you probably sitting here this morning have felt like God wanted me to do this and God called me to do this, but you know what? I don't want to do it. I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. I've had people tell me that. Yeah. And they just resist, and they don't want to be a part of what God is doing, and they want to run from God. But it's nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. After Jesus ascended into heaven, kind of like about this time, there was a guy named Stephen, one of the followers. And he had been following God and been preaching and teaching, and he kind of upset some people that, same ones that crucified Jesus, all right? Kind of ticked them off, and he wouldn't back down, and he kept pushing forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ and God and God's love, and they got mad at him, so they killed him. They stoned him. But look at what he said as they were stoning him. Look how he talked back to them as they were stoning him. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. See, what I want to encourage you, and as I'm looking at this morning, I want to just encourage, don't resist the Spirit. You're going to be sitting here this morning. I'm going to continue this message this morning, and I want to make sure you understand, don't resist the Spirit. I am sure some of you this morning, as I go through these next few points, are going to say, yeah, I feel God, and I hear God, but you know what? I don't want to do it. Some of you are going to have, you know, some thoughts in your mind, you know, and maybe you wrestle with, well, is this God, or how do I know what's God? Anybody ever wrestle, how do I know if this is God? Anybody ever wrestle with that one? How do I know if this is the Spirit leading me? How do I know if this is what God wants me to do? You know, I wrestle with that, and I'm sure some of you do. Let me give you a little hint for me. Here's some things for me that help me out. By nature, by who Gary is a selfish person. Anybody else in that boat? You know, by nature, I'm a selfish guy. And so if I feel led to do something generous and compassionate and caring, and it's not about me, that's a good chance it's going to be the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? You know. If I want to do something and it's kind of like I know it's wrong and I know I shouldn't do it, but I still want to do it. And And I'm getting the conviction about it. It's kind of like, that's probably the Holy Spirit saying, Gary, don't be stupid, all right? You know? If I got this feeling that, you know, God wants me to go and bless somebody and minister or serve and just lay my hand or do something with somebody, and I just feel God wants me to do that, more than likely, that is probably God. Because those are not Gary things, all right? You know, Gary has different ideas and different thoughts. You know, I was raised in what we call, anybody raised that me generation? It's all about me. It's mine. Me, myself, and I, that's what matters. I got three people I take care of, me, myself, and I. And so as you wrestle with this, don't resist what God wants to do. Don't resist how God works. If he's laying on your heart, if he's guiding you, because I want to tell you something. There's a thing that the scripture talks about, hardening the heart. Somebody always asks the question when you read it. It says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, I'm going to tell you how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He did it 10 times. God sent the positive thing to Pharaoh. Pharaoh could have said, let him go. And he said, no. His heart got harder. It wasn't that God hardened his heart. God hardened his heart because God sent something that hardened his heart when he said no to. When you say no to God, you're hardening your heart. That's what happened. That's why his heart kept getting harder. He had 10 chances to soften his heart, and he never did. Don't harden your heart. If you keep resisting the devil, it's going to get harder and harder to hear the voice of God. You ever wonder why that happens? It just gets harder to hear God's voice. And so I just want to challenge you, don't, and the scripture talks about grieving the Spirit. Don't resist the Spirit of God. All right? Some people, they're just unaware. And some resist. But what does the Holy Spirit do? What is it the Holy Spirit will do? This sets the stage up for the rest of these messages in this series. I'm going to give you just three quick things right now that the Holy Spirit does that maybe you need this morning, that maybe can help you today and tomorrow and the rest of this week and probably the rest of your life, that these are three things that a spirit-filled life can have and that God wants to give you. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. I gave you that scripture earlier that had helper. The King James translates it this way. Look how the King James says it. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. That's that paraclete. He's the comforter. He's the intercessor that will abide with you forever. If you need comforting, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. And I'm sure this morning, there are some of you here this morning who are in the midst of some very stressful things in life. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's home. Maybe I don't know what else it could be. But there are things in your life, and right now you need God to comfort you. And I want to tell you, the Spirit can comfort you. That God has a Spirit that he has placed within you. If you have crossed that line, that God can rise up in you and comfort your heart and speak to your mind. It's called the Holy Spirit. And God wants to comfort you. Life changes and turmoils in life, and God wants to do that. He can do that because I'm going to tell you, sometimes that comfort is simply the knowledge that God's present. Did you know that? That I'm not alone. Sometimes that comfort comes as the Spirit lives in me and I'm not alone and God is with me. Maybe you're here this morning and one of the things I talk about when I do funerals all the time, because I've seen it and I've experienced it. Maybe you're here this morning, you're sitting in a large crowd of people and still yet you feel alone. Anybody ever felt like that? You're in a group of people, you're sitting with a whole bunch of people and you just feel so alone. It's like nobody understands. Nobody gets it. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is always there. He's never left you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to leave you. The Holy Spirit is always, his presence is there to comfort you. His power is there to comfort you. The power of God. God is a God of miracles. God did not stop doing miracles when Jesus ascended into heaven. I see God's hand all the time. I hear God's voice. That silent conviction in the heart. See, his presence, his power is there, and he's there. And just, sometimes it's just a peace. You know, you can't explain it. Things are falling apart all around you, but you just feel a peace. You just feel a little comfort. It's like, I don't know why. Yeah, my life's a mess right now, and everything's going wrong right now, and it's a turmoil. But I just have a peace about this that you know what? God's in control. See, the Holy Spirit can comfort us. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort us. His presence is there to comfort us. The second thing I put down, let's look at some scripture here. Because I blew by that without reading the scripture. Or did I read it? I read the scripture, didn't I? I will pray the Father and he will give you. Let's go on to the next one. The Holy Spirit will console you. Thank you. Boy, I'm just going too fast. The Holy Spirit will console you. That word means he's going to direct you. You know, I like using C's, you know, preacher's thing, all the same letter to start with. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. I could have put guide in. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you, but trying to be preachery, I used all C's. Yeah. My grammarian, great work. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He wants to be part of your life. You need wisdom. He wants to give you. You need discernment. He wants to give you. You need that voice of God. He wants you to hear that. Look at what it says here in the scriptures. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. If you want to know the truth, you pray, and the Spirit will reveal it. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to lead you down the right path. I like this next verse. Look what this next verse says. I like what it says. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. What it's saying is, if you're going off the wrong way, you're going to hear a voice that says, get back. If you're starting to go the wrong way, you're going to hear a voice say, stop, come back this way. See, God wants to direct your path. God wants to guide you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to help you discern the truth. He's going to take you down the right path. If you ever wrestle with decisions, should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? You pray and let the Spirit guide and direct you. And the last one I put down here is the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. Now, this one is probably one most of us don't like, all right? This one's good, but we don't like it because it's when I messed up that I get this one, all right? It's when I blow it that God sends his Spirit to say, Gary, you blew it. You need to get back on the right path. It's called conviction. I've done something wrong. I've done something. I went the wrong way. I've made a poor decision. I'll give you the Bible word for it. You know what the Bible word is? It's called sin. All right? That's a good biblical word. When I sin, God sends his Spirit to convict me. He sends his Spirit to guide me. Look at what the Scripture says. And when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. See, God wants to direct us. He wants us to be on the right path. You know, there's times in our life and there's things in our life that we need to get rid of. And again, like I said, for me, this message this morning is don't resist the devil. And don't resist the Spirit, because there's things in our life that we need to get straight. There's still some things in my life I need to get straight. You know, I've been here 29 years as pastor. You know what? I still don't have this thing all figured out. Can you believe that? I haven't got life figured out. I'm practically perfect in every way, yeah, okay? Somebody called me perfect last night. They said, perfect, yes, see? That's what they called me perfect when they wrote back. That's not what they meant, but that's how I took it. Yeah, Evie's shaking her head. I read it wrong. No, you said perfect. I thought you were addressing me. Oh, okay. You know, we're not there. There's sin in our life. There's guilt. And that's that conviction of the Spirit. When we do wrong, I'm going to tell you, guilt is a good thing. When you do wrong, you should feel guilty. That is a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. I want to know, you know, we put these things on the sockets. Anybody ever put those things on the sockets in their house so the kids don't stick stuff in them? Anybody ever do that? You put them there because you don't want the kid to stick it in there. You know, some of us, you know, it's like if you were raised with my parents, like, go ahead, stick it in there. You'll learn it. You won't do it again. Yeah. How'd that old adage, don't touch a hot iron, let them touch it once, they'll know from now on. Yeah. That's what conviction is all about. Don't go that way. Don't be stupid. Yeah. Sin will destroy you. It will kill, steal, and destroy. You know what I've said this over and over? It will kill your peace, destroy your joy, and kill your life. Kind of messed it up, but there it is. Yeah. See, that Holy Spirit convicts us. That Holy Spirit also convicts us. You know, I'm thinking this morning, there are some of you here this morning, you don't even know why you're here. You just felt like, well, I'm going to go to church today. You don't know why. It's just, you know, some of you are here and your mom made you come. They drug you by the ear. You're going to church today. You know. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is here to convict you. The Holy Spirit wants you to be part of his family. The Holy Spirit wants you to join him in what he's doing. See, that Spirit wants to lay upon you and say, listen, are you happy where your life is? Are you satisfied where your life is? Is your life spiritless or spirit-filled? See, God is sitting there knocking at your door saying, listen, there's a line out here. There's heaven and there's hell. Take your pick. You know, I'm going to send that conviction. I want you to go to heaven. That's what God is saying. God is sitting there saying, listen, I died on a cross. My arms are open wide. I want you to go to heaven. Come join me. And I'm going to convict you. You don't understand. I don't get it. I just know I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to make that decision. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. See, and I see, I think the Spirit convicts us to make a decision. Yeah. It's not good enough to say, well, I believe in God. I've always believed in God. I've shared my story with you over and over again. I was 17 years old. I never doubted there was a God. I always knew the Bible was God's word. I always knew who God was. I always knew Jesus was God's son. Knew Jesus died. Might not know who his mother or father was, but I knew he died on a cross. But it wasn't until I was 17 that it was something more than just a story. That at 17, it was like, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do life your way. Come to my life and take control. That's a conviction that God has. And some people have that and you can't even explain it. I couldn't. I just knew these youth that I was running around with, there was something in their life that was different and I wanted to be a part of it. See, the Holy Spirit convicts. He convicts us. And maybe there's something in your life you need to get straight. Maybe there's some sin. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to make right. Maybe it's a decision to turn your life over to God and say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. The Spirit convicts. Maybe you didn't want to come this morning, and maybe all of a sudden it's like, I don't understand, and I just felt like I needed to be here, but I didn't want to come, but I needed to be here, so I came anyway. I don't get it. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, wake up. Don't resist me. Understand me. I want you to have a Spirit-filled life. I want you to be Spirit-empowered. I want that fruit of the Spirit in your life. I want that peace. I want that grace. I want that goodness. I want that all that God has, that fruit of the Spirit in your life. But it's your decision. So I want to ask you this morning, as we wrap up, are you living a Spirit-filled life or a Spiritless life? How do you feel? Where are you at? We're going to have some fun. We're going to go through a couple of more messages on this. And we're going to enjoy as we look at what God has to say about the Spirit. But I want to tell you something. The Spirit lives in you. If you've crossed that line, if you've that invisible line that says, God, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, the Spirit lives in you. Will you let Him fill you, empower you, gift you, encourage you, comfort you, strengthen you, guide you, direct you, walk alongside of you, and dwell within you? Will you live a Spirit-filled life? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that Jesus did ascend into heaven. But you didn't leave us as orphans. You sent your Spirit to live within us. That He dwells in the heart of your believers. You know, as we're praying, just our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning. And you know about the Holy Spirit. You've heard the message this morning, or you've understood the Spirit, and you know He dwells within you. But you just feel there's just something missing about that Spirit in your life. That there's just something that's not quite right with the Spirit. Maybe it's some of the gifts. Maybe you've resisted some of the things He's asked you to do. And maybe you just want me to pray for you that God will fill your Spirit. Would you just raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand and say, would you pray that God will fill my heart with the Spirit? Thank you. Thank you. I see some hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I lift these up to you. These are your children, Lord, that you've placed the Spirit in their lives. And Lord, I come just as in need as they do to be filled anew and afresh with your Spirit. Lord, empower us from above. Fill us with strength and wisdom and peace. Let us fight the good fight, Lord, not on our power, but by the power and the might of the Spirit that dwells within us. Guide and direct us. Lord, I ask, as you promised that you never fill anything up, it always overflows, let your Spirit overflow out of our lives, that we may be a people of God. Lord, I thank you for all that are here. Guide and direct the hearts. Lead and direct the minds. Fill us. Console us. Comfort us. And convict us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our